Sokala Duma Radio.
Who is the fittest coach in the Premier Soccer League? How did Free State Stars win the Nedbank Cup? Do lifestyle choices of South African football players affect their unfold performances? Well, you'll get these answers and much more in this episode. Hello there, this is The Big Interview by Sokala Duma and I am Nkululeko Nkeu. In this episode, we chat to Free State Stars fitness and conditioning coach, Rido Abirdin. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
Sokala Duma Radio.
We're now joined on the line by Free State Stars fitness and conditioning coach Rido Abirdin. Rido, thank you very much for joining us on Sokala Duma Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. It's also good waking up being a champion, so feeling good at the moment.
All right. So you seemingly haven't gone over being champion, and I wouldn't really blame you. Talk to us about the campaign, the Nedbank Cup campaign. What was it about? What was it about the campaign that made you guys successful over and above the other teams?
I think, Free State Stars has always been a hard-working team. And I think that has continued a lot, We always had our backs against the wall. We were never favored. So I think the word to sum them up is obviously hard work. They work extremely hard, in the background, and the players are really humble. So I think that complements each other, yes.
Mm. And throughout the Nedbank Cup campaign, I seem to remember that the matches were not as easy in that you struggled against teams like Ubuntu, but you eventually won the matches. Talk to me about that. Were you the fittest side on the tournament, or was it just luck? What was it about the team?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. If you talk about fitness, and if you can strongly say that you're one of the fittest teams or the well-conditioned team. But I think against Ubuntu, we had a match, I think, the week before or the 3 days before.
Yeah, midweek.
We had to travel to Cape Town. Yes, and then we had to travel to Cape Town. And that match obviously took us to 120 minutes and also penalties. So it shows that, the duration and the commitment of the players were there. We also had a 100% player availability. So it showed that they were in good condition, because we had minimal injuries, in fact, no injuries, basically recorded this year. So it gave the coach a chance at least to pick his best 11, and to get results at the same time.
All right, we'll get to the nitty-gritties about the work and the successes of the conditional aspect of your work. But I wanted to ask you this specifically, and perhaps you can educate our younger audience, particularly about the conditioning, that I was reading Andrea Pirlo's I Think Therefore I Play, his autobiography that was released a few years back. And in one of the things that he mentions there is that he really despises the warm-up, the pre-match warm-up, that 15 minutes before the actual game. He really uses words that I cannot even use here, that really he's more interested in the actual thing more than the thing they do before the actual thing. So for you, what would you say is the importance of warming up to the body to ensure that you last the full 90 minutes? What are the pros and cons about not warming up?
Obviously, we have to respect Andrea Pirlo's view. I mean, he's obviously a top professional. I think I also read that statement that he made, But everybody again has its view. There's a lot more professionals that can give a better view on conditioning. For example, if we use Cristiano Ronaldo's training methods, or even how he prepares for games, that makes him one of the top football players in the world at the moment. So, there are different views when it comes to that. But I think in general, a warm-up should be, ideally to get the body ready, get the blood circulation flowing. And at the end of the day, it's to prevent injuries and also to allow the player to adapt to what is going to happen in the game. So having these elements in mind, you have to have it integrated into your warm-ups, trying to get the player ready, whether it be mentally or even physically. And I think all these elements are key to obviously playing in the football matches or even performing throughout the season.
Mm. All right. And describe the typical week of Rido when he's performing his job as the fitness and conditioning coach right at the beginning of the season or even preseason. What is your job at Free State Stars and other teams that you've worked for? What does a fitness and conditioning coach does?
Yeah, look, I was obviously employed as a fitness and conditioning coach at Free State Stars. I think the primary function is to manage and design football conditioning models and exercises for the head coach, of course. One of the main aims is to reduce the injury crisis that we have within football or within your club, and to also apply and integrate the final phase rehab protocols for injured players. So when players are injured, they will normally come to the strength and conditioning coach at the final phase of their rehab once they've seen the physios and the doctor. And then you have to obviously integrate it into the team's periodization model. So in general, also, you have to balance the training sessions. You are there to balance the training sessions, to monitor the training loads and allow the team to be conditioned to play in a specific way, which is very important because, you know, the specific playing style and formation has got different training, has got different physical demands. So, you know, and coaches using different formations and playing styles, you know, your job is to basically get the best players available 100% of the time. So the coach can install his tactic and try to get results.
Mm. Does your job extend as far as you telling Coach Luke Emael that he is training period? For example, a training session which should be lasting maybe 1 hour, 30 minutes, is it too long? How far does your involvement go in terms of advising him that, look, these guys have trained? I mean, you've said that there is a schedule. You plan. Perhaps what happens when he says, I want this guy to train four times a week instead of two that is advised by you. So what is your involvement? How far does it go?
Yeah, look, you in general, you have to speak the same language as the coach. You know, I was lucky enough, like you said, with Coach Luke, he's got a physical education background. So it wasn't really that difficult, you know, to speak the same conditioning language. But you are there to advise and guide the coach, you know, you know, regarding training minutes, regarding training loads, you know, regarding possible fatigue of certain players. As we know, within the team conditioning model as a whole, there are individual conditioning models, you know, for experienced players, older players, younger players. So you have to, you know, make the coach also understand that you know, a certain player like, for example, Paulus Mase and Roy Mahmoudsa, for example, cannot train on the same intensity as the younger players, you know, so you have to be very careful with that. But obviously, you liaise with the coach every day. I mean, we were a technical team that actually met daily, consistently, you know, discussing the training sessions, planning the training sessions. And I think from there, that was also one of the contributions of the success.
Mm. You mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo, and I'll mention Percy Tau as well, because it has now become knowledge that he's the best player in the country at the moment, and we've now known that he puts a lot of additional work more than what you guys do as conditioning trainers. I want to ask specific to those along those lines, that Cristiano Ronaldo, Percy Tau, and everyone else, Nico Mobi on your team, how much of an allowance or a lenience do enable a player to add his individual hours of training more than what you guys do? Because there's a reason why you have this schedule, and it's probably best for his body. But how much would you stop Nico Mobie or Snetemba Janji to do additional 2 hours per week or additional 5 hours per week? What would be your input in him wanting to do that?
Yeah, we have to look at the model itself. We have to look at how many games we are playing in that month, because at the end of the day, you know, the player has to perform on the field. You know, it's pointless we're loading him with training sessions, yet he's being judged on the field. So we look at maybe one specific month, and we maybe diagnose to see, okay, we've got 6 games within a short period of time. Obviously, then we will have to relook at his individual program and say, okay, we need to either taper down there, you know, to reduce his training sessions, or vice versa. If we have few games or during FIFA breaks, for example, then we can obviously look to see and increase the training loads, for example, of individual players. But the most important thing is obviously keep it football specific. You know, you don't want to have two different types of training programs, because then you are building fatigue with the players. So if a player has an intense gym program or an isolated program, separate to the team conditioning program, if you add it together, we might have a player that might be experiencing extreme fatigue. So, you know, we have to manage that. And again, it all comes to relation with what the team is going to go through in that specific month.
How much are PSL teams professional? How are you guys singing from the same hymn shit when it comes to conditioning?
Look, there's obviously different types of factors that we need to consider, you know. If you're comparing the average PSL professional, you know, if the standards are at the international level, look, to be honest, I think we need to improve in that element very mentally, you know, because PSL players, you know, we need to strive to be above average. You know, some football players, you know, they get comfortably complacent at the same level or at the level they are happy with, and then average professionals become comfortable with average training methods or average nutrition or average football intensity. So in order to be above average, we have to apply above average football elements to improve the standard of football fitness and conditioning in South Africa. And then, you know, to compare South African, the PSL, with maybe European clubs, you know, realistically, yes, we are behind, but the gap is closing rapidly. And I think we have to give credit to Coach Fitzoma Tomani and the conditioning coach at Sundowns, Cabello. They've certainly risen the bar in this regard, you know, because Sundowns has managed their players well, performing well on the world stages. For example, the CAF Champions League, the World Club Cup, and recently they played against Barcelona. So we, you know, and also having worked with European-based coaches like Sensi, Luca Nail, Claude Rai, and even Dennis Lawrence, you know, and even Sol Campbell, for example. So they have all indicated to me that, you know, that the PSL has been growing in terms of, from a conditioning perspective, because when I had a chat with Coach Dennis Lawrence, who worked with Steven Pienaar at Everton, he only had good words to say about the South African Steven Pienaar when it came to a conditioning point of view. So I think we are closing the gap, you know, from Africa as a whole, or PSL as a whole, compared to the European team. And also, I think individual players professionally, we also need to improve on that, from a nutrition, even from a training method point of view.
Yeah, you allude to those things, and I'm very interested in asking you, as we close our conversation with the last few questions, talk to us about the lifestyle of the typical South African player. It's known that they are heavy drinkers at times, a large percentage of them, and also the dieting of the typical South African player might not be up to scratch. Talk to me about those and how much that impacts their performance on the field and their fitness across the season.
Yeah, look, we have to be very, very careful as conditioning coaches or even head coaches when it comes to lifestyle and cultural things, you know, especially in Africa. You know, we're very, very, you know, we're very proud and we're very strict when it comes to our culture. But to be honest, the lifestyle affects the conditioning massively. You know, as you know, football conditioning coaches are preparing the body for the demands of the game. So if you don't have a balanced lifestyle, coaches can't expect a balanced or consistent performance from his players. So the excessive, you know, partying and poor nutrition effectively drops the player's football actions, like we call it, drops the football actions during the games, which initially drops the quality of the football matches, therefore in general creates poor games for our supporters to watch.
Now tell me, you mentioned Mamelodi Sundowns have done well in the Club World Cup and balancing out the CAF Champions League. Well, you are going to be in that situation as Free State Stars. You'll play in the CAF Confederations Cup by virtue of you being champions of the Nedbank Cup. Do you have any headaches of playing 3 games in 10 days? What's going to be the plan now for you going forward?
Yeah, look, I think that's going to be a massive challenge. You know, look, with all due respect, Mamelodi Sundowns is a massive team. You know, they've got a great abundance of players. They've got, you know, fantastic conditioning coaches and a big variety of a technical team. So I think as Free State Stars, I think we obviously have to plan early. It's going to be very, very key. Your periodization has to actually take place earlier. I think the club will obviously need to strengthen the squad, you know, to create a lot of balance in the squad, because this season we had a lot of experienced players. We had more experienced players than youth players. So that integration also, we need to balance the game minutes, you know, try to be competitive on all fronts, whether it be retaining the Nedbank Cup, playing now MTN 8, you know, competing in the Telkom Cup, trying to get a top eight finish, or even more maybe in the Absa Premiership. Of course, we saw what obviously happened to SuperSport, you know, playing in CAF.
Yeah,
and then obviously, you know, it affects the league performance.
Absolutely.
But I think the communication now with the coaches and the players that we have, it needs to be at a high level, because, you know, we're going to need to have to balance a lot of game minutes with players. You know, we have to basically pre-plan certain players and say, okay, you know, in this month we have 6 games. I think out of the 6, you're going to have to play, you know, maybe 2 or 3 of it, you know. Again, it all comes also to the tactical intelligence of the coach, you know, because, again, different tactics, that's what different physical demands, which means they can select different players. So I think that we also need to be a little bit smarter, especially going into Africa. I've worked with the Togolese national team, so, you know, that experience, I hope it will help the club when it comes to preparing for the CAF Confederations Cup.
All right, MTN 8, Telkom Knockout, Nedbank Cup, Absa Premiership. Do we have too many competitions in the PSL?
I think again we are how can I say, we've been voted the best league from a marketing perspective, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've got a lot of competitions within the league, you know, and it's marketed very well. Does it affect from a physical side? I think yes, because obviously it's a lot more games involved, you know, a lot more competitions involved. But again, that has to show us as South Africans, we have to improve as well in our preparation. You know, we have to improve from the coaching perspective. We have to improve from the training side as well. You know, it's a good challenge, and it's a challenge we have to accept, because, like you're saying, we want to get closer to the Europeans, and I think we are definitely closing that gap because of that. I mean, we've got a lot, immense amount of games in a year with all the competition. But I think it's good. It's also good to always play competitive football, making your players football fit. You know, for me, I don't think it's a problem. I think it's actually a good thing for South African football.
At the recently concluded PSL Awards, if there was an award for the fittest PSL player of the season, would you give it?
It's a difficult one, but I think I would definitely give it to the captain, Paulus Mosse. I mean, you know, he's one of those players that never complains. You know, he's still playing and actually out running and producing high quality football action than the young player. You know, he's a seasoned professional. You know, he's been at Sundowns, he's been at Pirates, and what he has done this year for FIFA Stars, I mean, he's been a balance, he's been a pillar of strength in the team. You know, he's led the team. I mean, in training sessions, when we collect all the training data, he would be the one that would always be on top, you know, covering high distances in training sessions, you know, covering he's played a lot of training minutes, for example, you know. So for me, I think the fittest player definitely should be Paulus Mosse.
All right, Rido Abiedin, thank you very much for your time, and we hope, wish you the best of luck next season. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much, man. Sokala Duma Radio.
Thank you very much for listening to this wonderful conversation. Catch the next episode next week. For now, it is goodbye.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.